One of the things that the Lord was speaking to me about last night, and I felt like he wanted to touch some hearts here this morning, was about misdirected strength. You see it with Moses. Moses kills the Egyptian. His strength is to be a deliverer. But his strength is misdirected and he does things out of the timing of God and outside of the way that God wants it done. You see it with Paul, who was Saul. Saul persecuted the church. He threw Christians into jail. Why? Because his strength was in the whole area of doctrine, in the whole area of a love for truth. But his strength was misdirected because he wasn't yet saved. And I believe that the Lord wanted to touch some people here this morning that your strength has been misdirected. Either because you've been out of the timing of God like Moses, or because you haven't given your life to the Lord. And some of you, I believe, are even struggling with that in your children, that their strength is misdirected because they are not walking right with God. And you're struggling with the fact that they are doing some things which aren't right, but their strength has not been surrendered to the Lord. Therefore, it is misdirected. And I believe the Lord wanted to touch some parents here this morning and encourage you regarding your children. That is simply misdirected strength. And secondly, I believe that the Lord wanted to touch some people here regarding your own life, because when you look back, you see yourself having done some things that weren't according to the ways of the kingdom. And the Lord wants you to know that it was simply misdirected strength. And God wants to take you back to those areas and redeem those areas. Whereas you want to close the door. The Lord does not want you to close the door. He wants you to open the door so he can redeem that strength. I'm going to get Lockie to come and share what it is that God gave her. I'm going to hand back over to Ray, but if that's resonating with you at the end of the service, come and I would love to pray with you, because I know that the Lord's got some more for you. One of the things that I felt like the Lord, when Ray started talking about that condemnation thing, one of the things that I felt the Lord wanted to highlight in that verse was there is now. Right now, no condemnation. See, we can believe the fact that Jesus has died for us, he's paid for our sins, and when we believe in Jesus, we're on our way to heaven and we'll get there and one day we'll be perfect. That's true. But there is a word in there that we so easily miss, that I believe the Lord wants us to live in the reality of there is now, right where you're at in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of everything that you are dealing with, there is now no condemnation. Not one day when you got your act sorted out. Not one day when you pray more, believe more, have more, do more. No, right now. Right now, there is no condemnation. That's the freedom I believe God wants us to live in. Because many of God's people are bound with shame. Shame is an emotion that is meant to lead us to God. But once we come to God, we get rid of it. But the trouble is that many times we have used guilt and shame to motivate people, not love. And many of us have lived in environments where we have been shamed and we have been loaded with guilt. You should. Why didn't you? And I believe that God wants shame to come out of the church, because in shame we hide. First thing that happened to Adam and Eve when they sinned was they knew they were naked and they hid. Folks, that's shame. And there's many of us still hiding because of shame. And even in the midst of the church, we hide because of shame. Maybe you've been prayed for and you're not healed. The devil would love you to hide in shame. Maybe your kids aren't where they need to be in God. And the devil comes along and whispers in your ear. If you're a real Christian, if you're a good Christian, if you prayed harder, if you did this, if God really loved you, your kids wouldn't be where they're at. Fooey. I think that's a polite word. I can use that one. God wants his people released from shame. That's why it says, come boldly. Hebrews 4, come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because it's boldness that deals with the shame and says, I don't care what my past has been. I don't care what I'm still struggling with. I have a God who loves me, and I'm going to walk in his power and walk in his grace, and I'm going to see breakthrough. And that would have been a good place to say amen.
Someone prophesied over us that we would tag team preach. We don't do a lot of it, but it's really good. Since I find it very difficult not to interrupt her anyway, we might as well make it official, you know. So it swings both ways, I know. So one of the things, you know, that's so powerful, isn't it? The judge has left the seat. I mean, the Holy Ghost, he just hijacked our service when that happened. The Lord spoke to me a couple of years ago from, I can't remember where it is, I've shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to love mercy and to do justly and da 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 da. But he stopped it. This is what I want you to do, Ray. I want you to learn to love mercy. And I thought, oh, okay. So when that person in the car in front of me is too slow, or they've got their blinkers on, they're not turning anywhere, and I just get, you want me to put up with that and forgive them? And the Lord says, no, that's not what I mean. You're not loving that situation at all. I says, what do you mean? How do you love a situation like that? And he says, well, take the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. That made my day. And I says, what? But you're not into adultery, are you, God? And he says, no, but when they caught that woman and dragged her before Jesus, and I had an opportunity to show her that I loved her, that I didn't condemn her, Jesus did say, go and sin no more, but he loved her first, and it was him loving her unconditionally that empowered her to go and sin no more. We tell people to get their act together, and then we will love them. No, God loves us in the midst of the most heinous sin. And when we truly feel the depth of his love for us, just the way we are, man, doesn't that make you want to love him? And it empowers us to live the kind of life that grace empowers us to live. But calling people to a certain standard, they will always fail. because it's from, they're not being empowered. It's coming from the wrong tree. It's coming from the knowledge of good and evil. God doesn't even want us to know that it's wrong. He wants us to just go through life without having an awareness of sin. So we make a mistake. He doesn't even want us to be aware of it. Oh, that'll rattle some of your pet theories. But because the Bible says that he has put away sin. He's put it away. We keep talking about it. We keep confessing it. The next time you sin isn't when God found out about it. You know, he's already put it all, past, present, and future. He's put it all away by the blood of Jesus. I had a teacher at school who said to me, you know, we've got to talk to some of these, he's a science teacher, we've got to tell some of the other staff, you know, God loves you, but you know, you're in real trouble with God. Your sin is a real offense to him. And I said, well, that's not very attractive. I said, I wouldn't want to continue that conversation. I said, why don't you tell them that God has put away all their sin? He does not see them as sinners. He's put it away, theirs as well. And yes, they have to appropriate. I don't believe in universal salvation. They have to appropriate it for it to be effective. But as far as God's concerned, their sin has been put away. And all they have to do is say, yep, I agree, that's me, you're saved. But God is looking at every person, not as a sinner, he's looking at every person. In this age of grace, there is a day of judgment coming, one day of judgment coming. Until then, it's all grace. God is not looking down on the world and he's not sending earthquakes and stuff. Where do we get this? Out of the church mainly, you know. So, anyway, before I get too far afield, Ray, I want you to learn how to love. I want you to learn how to love mercy. That woman who I caught in the act of adultery made my day because it gave me an opportunity to express who I am. I am love. So, Ray, the next time you get a car that comes in front of you and puts the blinker on or does something stupid, I want you to see it as an opportunity to draw deep from the well of my spirit and love that person. That's okay. That's okay. You forgot to turn your blinker off. I understand. I've done the same thing myself. Okay, so you're angry. You're driving like a madman. I know. Hurting people hurt people. I understand. That's all right. That's okay. And I love this opportunity to express who my Heavenly Father is in me towards you. Now, that's a challenge, and I'll tell you what will happen on the way home. Did you learn to love mercy? So every person who ticks us off, and they are there just to perfect you, I might add. And there's heaps of them right here in front of me. Person sitting next to you. They are an opportunity for you. They are an opportunity for you to learn to love mercy. Well, did you get offended? Well, they only prove that you've got a goat to be got. If they got your goat, you've got a goat, haven't you? We need to learn to love, and it's just such a challenge. And, you know, I pray by the grace of God, I don't get offended as often as I used to. When I first started this church, everybody ticked me off. Now there's only half of you ticked me off. Which half? You know, it's a challenge, but the reason we're a body is so that we can learn to love one another and not judge. You don't know. We just don't know. Just love people. Just show them mercy. Just show them mercy. That's what the family's for. This should be one place where we come, where we should not be afraid to be ourselves. Now, it doesn't give us license to abuse people. Of course not. But it should be one place where we come knowing that if we make mistakes, we can say sorry and move on and just feel the mercy. Now, one other thing I'll say, honey, before I hand back to you, and that is we need to know what this grace is and we need to live in it and walk under it. I'll give you one example. It's acceptable to a person according to what they have and not according to what they don't have. And so often we're aware of what we don't have. And we're living under this performance mentality. So I analysed what happened at school the other week when I yelled at those kids. You know, I told you I yelled at those kids. They really ticked me off. And whenever we have an outburst of anger like that, there's a root of it. And it's usually fear of some sort. So I asked myself, what's the fear? And it was so clear. These kids were running around, they were chewing gum, they weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, and I was afraid that, you know, the DP would walk in or something and see these kids misbehaving, and I would get it. It's like, what sort of a reliever are you? You can't even keep your kids under control. So there's this fear, and out of this fear, out of this expectation that I was putting on myself to perform, I yelled at these kids. Now, if I'd just come under grace, it says, look, it's acceptable to a person according to what they have, not according to what they don't have. I'm doing the best I can. It's not my fault that I got a whole bunch of idiots in the class doing all this. It's not my fault that when you ask a kid to spit his gum out, he says, why? Why should I? You know, and so, but you take this upon yourself. So it's like, if I just said, okay, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. God loves me. Doing the best I can. It's going to be all right. If the DP walks in, he'll understand. There's no fear. See, there's no fear. I just look up and say, oh, Johnny, what are you doing running around over there? Hey, come on, buddy. That's not what we do around here. But because, you know, and so often we feel judged by people. Often we feel like our performance isn't good enough. We're not doing what we should be doing. And there's fear there. And we react out of that. If we just learn to live under grace, the key is knowing how to live under grace. Receiving love, receiving mercy, receiving acceptance, not living under a performance mentality. If we lived under that, we would just be able to be really nice to people. We would just be able to love and show mercy because we have received mercy. So be nice to each other while we go away, won't you? We want you just nudge the person next to you. Say, you've got to be nice to me, Pastor Ray said.
I'm feeling like the Lord wants us to go into some ministry or throw it open for people to have prayer, because I don't know if you've noticed, but there's a few things that the Lord's been hitting on in the meeting. Basically has to do with our mindsets. Many times we end up bound under a weight of guilt or a weight of shame. And when we are in that situation, we cannot love others because we do not feel loved. We love because He first loved us. And the Holy Spirit wants to spread that love through us to other people. But if we don't feel like we're worthy of love, how are we going to look at other people and feel like they're worthy of love? There's a whole world out there that's waiting to know that God loves them. Let me share with you briefly. I was listening to Graham Cook, and he shared a testimony, which I'll share with you. He went into a cafe and he was sitting down just having a coffee, minding his own business. And this man walked in who looked totally distraught and just flopped down at a table and ordered a coffee. And the Lord says to Graham, that man has just found out that his 16-year-old girl is on crack cocaine and selling her body on the street. And he had no idea. And Graham said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, well, I want you to write out this prayer for this man. So he says, I'll dictate it, you write. So Graham writes out this prayer. He's writing it out. And the Lord says to him, by the way, he's an atheist. So it's like, okay, this is going to be fun. So he writes out this prayer, goes over to the man's table and sits down and says, hi, I'm Graham. And the man says, I blankety blank 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 don't care. He says, well, that's fine, he said, but the Lord's got something for you and he wants me to share it with you. And he says, I certainly blankety blank don't care, get lost. And he said, the Lord just showed me about your 16-year-old girl that you have just found out that she's on crack cocaine and selling her body on the street. And the man said, how do you know that? And he said, God told me. I don't believe in God. I know you don't believe in God. But God has an answer for you. And he pushes this piece of paper across the table. And he said, God told me that you need to pray this prayer every day. And in 6 months' time, your little girl will come home. Her life will have been turned around. She'll be free from drugs and you'll have your girl back. And by this time, the man, his bottom lip's quivering, and he grabs hold of this piece of paper. He takes it home. First few times he reads it through, reading it out loud, feeling a little bit stupid. He gets to the stage where he realizes this is the only thing he has that has the power to bring his daughter back. So every day he's praying it over and over and over again. He gets his daughter back. And God gets his son back. God wants us to be able to hear him, not just for ourselves, but for a world that can't hear him. No. Papa, I thank you that you want us to be able to hear your voice. And Lord, as Ray has done this series on hearing your voice, Lord, I pray that you'll help us get rid of the things that stop us from hearing you. The guilt, the condemnation, the doubt, all the things that make us think that you are wanting to say to us how bad and how hopeless we are. Lord, I thank you for the courage to hear your voice, the love in your heart that you have for us, and for a world that desperately needs to know that you love them. We thank you for that, Lord. Amen.